All right, once again, it's great to see everyone here this evening. I hope you had a wonderful afternoon. And again, we realize how blessed we are to be able to gather here to worship our God this evening. And of course, it always encourages me, you know, when the worship service falls on a holiday, a big event like tonight, of course, everyone knows the Super Bowl, but the brethren find basically that it's more important to gather in worship. Is this not working? Battery's out? I'll just use this then. There we go. But it does encourage me. And, you know, priorities, of course, I like football just as much as anybody else. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a game, right? And then with technology, there's no reason not to be here with the church. And so I do appreciate your dedication to the Lord. All right, now this evening we're going to continue in our study of life and death, a sermon series, part three, as you see on the screen. You know, this is one of those, listen, God doesn't tell us everything we want to know. He tells us what we need to know, right? And so there's a lot of areas, you know, it's interesting. It satisfies our curiosity in certain areas. I think it's good to know. And again, like when we began this series, I think, you know, a lot of these topics here, it helps cast our mind to the spiritual, right? So we're mainly going to be talking about paradise, where, you know, where does the spirit of the believer go after death? You know, before the return of Jesus and after his ascension. You know, and just really thinking about these things, I think it really helps us develop a spiritual nature, right? This is setting our mind on things above, right? Thinking beyond the physical. So I think it's beneficial in that. And in the end, because you're going to see as we go through the lesson here, talk about where paradise is now, a little bit about the Hadean realm, you know, what I want us to take away from this, really all of these lessons, really this is all about preparation for that event that's absolutely coming, right? You're absolutely going to die unless Jesus comes back first. It's absolutely going to happen. Judgment Day is absolutely going to happen, right? You don't get to decide if it's not going to happen because you ignore it away, rationalize it away, you know, whatever. It's going to happen. So all of this is about preparation. So anytime we can think about the spiritual beyond the physical, and it motivates us to consider that day, to consider that preparation, that's what I really want you to take away from this study here. And like in the previous lessons, I want us to think again about this statement here in this. Right? Are you confident in your salvation? Right? If Jesus was to come back right now, or if you were to die right now, would you know, nothing doubting, that you get to be with him forever, eternally in heaven? And, you know, I believe absolutely we are to be confident in our salvation. That doesn't mean we don't continue to seek to grow and mature in our faith. Repent daily and those things, but we need to have confidence in that. And that's one of the wonderful things that only Christians can have, right? Confidence in Jesus and what we have waiting for us for those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so I want to begin with this thought process here again, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If that is true, right, and we can logically look within the Bible, we can look outside of the Bible, and we can with confidence say that is truth. In the beginning, God created, right? So if that's true, greatest miracle ever, then the things that are recorded in this book are true, right? The mind of our Creator given to us to tell us what we need to do to make preparation for that spiritual realm that is there that we're going to face at some point, right? And again, what Satan likes to do, he likes to create doubt, distraction, because he knows where there's doubt, where there's distraction, right? We're not going to have our eyes focused on Jesus, and we're going to start thinking about the wrong things, We're going to start being confused about the wrong things instead of focusing on the right things, and he knows that's going to keep us from being faithful. So that's why this study matters. It really does matter. And, you know, I would say as an evangelism tool, this is important, right? Because what a lot of people outside the Lord's body, they want answers for this, right? And if you're somewhat, at least a little bit knowledgeable in this, right, you could use that to open doors to spiritual conversations, right, and pique their interest. Say, well, let me show you. Let me show what God says from his word so you don't have to fear, so you don't have to doubt, so you don't have to be confused. So, again, that's why I believe this study matters, right? And anytime we're talking about this topic, really any topic, you know, we need to leave emotions out, right? Death, the topic of death is an emotional topic, right? Because it's touched all of us. And, you know, what's required in such a study, you know, we need to a certain degree, really remove emotions, remove preconceived ideas, because after all, you know, anything that can be known about life after death, you know, heaven and hell, it comes from the Bible. And just because a certain belief or preconceived idea gives us comforting thoughts, that also doesn't make it true, right? You know, for example, I think someone even with the best intentions, with even real heartfelt thoughts, says something like, you know, grandma died, I know grandma's an angel now, right? But is it true? Well, the short answer is no, of course, right? We don't become angels when we die, and grandma doesn't get her wings, right? I know that's kind of contrary to a lot of what the world perceives about death, if there is a God and there is a heaven. You know, that somehow you die, you get wings, or, you know, sweet grandma's got her wings now, she's an angel now. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, right? And that's just a small example of, you know, not looking at the basic facts of what Scripture reveals to us. So in this lesson here, what we're really going to be talking about is where does the spirit of the believer go after death? Now, this is after the ascension of Jesus, and this is before the return of Jesus, right? So if you or I in Christ right now, if we die, where does our spirit go? And so to a degree, of course, we're going to talk about where do the spirit of the unrighteous, the unsaved, those outside of Christ, where do they go? Right? So you know, we are going to talk about that a little bit. Now, we're going to talk about heaven in this study in the future. We're going to talk about hell. We're going to talk about the second coming. We're going to talk about Judgment Day, you know, and a few other topics in the future. But right now, we're talking about paradise. And so what does the Bible say about paradise? And, you know, there are two main views on this that we're going to look at. One I call the traditional view, which I believed for a while. And then the second one is, I don't want to say scriptural, don't get hung up on those words. I just want to kind of highlight a difference. I think maybe a better way to describe it would be a more complete view. It's probably a better way to look at this. So the traditional view right here, and now this, again, before the judgment, and I think it's important to, you know, understand timelines here, what we're talking about. So this traditional view, if you will, in quotes, after our physical body dies, and before the return of Christ, some call that the intermediate state, but don't worry about that. You know, of course, body goes back to the dust, and our soul, or better stated, I should have put spirit there, goes to paradise. We're talking about the saved, right? And then the unsaved to torment, the other side of the Hadean realm. And that's called Tartarus. We're going to talk about that in the future, separate thing. And then at Judgment Day, everyone will be reunited with their resurrected bodies. And then the saved go to heaven, and the unsaved go to hell, which is Gehenna eternally. True statement, I believe. Most, you know, and some of that is true after the return of Jesus and the Judgment Day. But I want us to think about this and really think about what the Bible says. But let's remember a couple facts here, right? Our body returns to the dust, and our spirit separates from the body. Genesis 35, verse 18, when it speaks of the death of Rachel, right, it says, and so it was as her soul was departing, and you'll look in your Bible, it's probably in parentheses, it says, and for she died. Right? So there's going to be a separation on the, when we die. And Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, we've read it, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. There's that, those two parts. Right? And James 2, verse 26, tells us, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Right? Just another good passage to highlight how Scripture says they're separate. Right? You got the physical body, and you got the spirit. Now, in a lot of context, that collectively is the soul, by the way. Right? The soul is the spirit and the body. It's kind of a descriptive term. And not always. Remember that first lesson, it depends on the context, but most of the time, right? In the Old Testament, nefesh, it can even mean life, right? Your life that you live on this earth, like in the Shema, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, the nefesh, which is referencing life, and then, of course, with all of your might. So, but anyways, our spirits, go here to Luke 16. Just a couple things in our scripture reading. Our spirit, now we're talking about the traditional view here, right? Spirit goes to Hades, a Hadean realm. Luke 16, verse 22, the story with the rich man and Lazarus. Right? So it was, a beggar died, and he's carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, also called paradise. The rich man also died and was buried, verse 23, and being in torments in Hades. Right? So you got this Hadean realm, and that's just the idea that word describes the world of the unseen, or the unseen world. It's different than hell, right? Because in this Hadean realm, you have paradise and torment, right? These two distinct places in the Hadean realm. And if you remember in Luke 23, 43, right, the thief on the cross, he says, today you will be with me in paradise, right? Jesus died, right? Separation of his spirit. He said, I commit my spirit to you, Lord, right? Body went in the tomb. Right, spirit went to the Hadean realm, not the torment side, but the paradise side. Right, and so that's where the thief went with him. Right, in paradise at that point was in the Hadean realm. Right, Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15. Right, he defeated death. He defeated Satan. He was raised from the dead. And so and if you think about that Hadean realm, the realm of the unseen, right, and Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 16, right? It's divided in two parts with a great gulf fixed between them in verse 23. Paradise, place for the righteous. Lazarus here in this example. The torment or Tartarus is a place for the wicked. And so in this traditional view, when we die, if you're righteous, you're in Christ, paradise in the Hadean realm. If you're wicked outside of Christ, you still got your sin problem you never took care of, in the Hadean realm, torment. Bad place, so bad, please dip your finger in water to put on the tip of my tongue. That bad place, right? All in the unseen realm. And so just some thoughts here on this. And I just realized, I don't see John up there, I had him replace my PowerPoint, and I gave him the wrong PowerPoint. And I should have noticed that earlier because I went up there to look at it, and I go, oh, yeah, this is what I want, but it's not. So bear with me on the PowerPoint here. It should still be helpful. So, with this view here, of course, you got rich man and Lazarus. You got the thief on the cross over here in Luke 23. But we also know, when we think about this, paradise, go to John 20. Go to John 20 if you have your Bible. Paradise was not in heaven where God dwells. At this point, right? So in John 20 and verse 17, John 20, verse 17, so this is after Jesus resurrected, and he says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Now, Acts the second chapter. Acts chapter 2, if you're reading here in Peter's sermon, 29 through 35, just a couple verses here. When he says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades." All right, that's part of Peter's sermon here. "Nor did his flesh see corruption." Then verse 33, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God." Right? And so that's where Jesus is now when he ascended. Remember, he ascended back in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 9. Right? He ascends, and they're looking up. And the angel, you know, why are you looking up? He's going to come back in a likewise manner. And so these are some things you start adding it up to in all of this, right? So Christ, you know, he wasn't left in Hades. He wasn't left in the Hadean realm, the paradise side of the Hadean realm. He wasn't left there. David went to paradise, Acts 2 and verse 34, when he died, right? And so just some facts here we're going to lay out and really think about. So when you think about this view here, this holds true for those who died prior, look at Acts 1 and verse 9, prior to the ascension of Jesus, right? So this is true. Before Jesus ascended, right, he died 3 days in the grave in the Hadean realm, the paradise side. "Hey, thief, on the cross, you're going to be with me." Right? So he went to paradise, but he resurrected out of that. So before he ascended, this holds true, this traditional view, I believe, right? So if you were righteous in the eyes of God, you know, under the law of Moses, right? You would go to the paradise where Abraham was, right? Abraham's bosom. But if you're wicked, you go where the rich man was, in torment, the bad place, right? So hot, please put a drop of water in my tub. But here's what I want us to think about, and I think it's so encouraging that you don't hear a lot is, what about after the ascension of Christ? Where's paradise now? I contend paradise is now in the heavenly realm, not in the unseen world. And I believe we got evidence for that I want you to consider here. Right, paradise was then, at this point, spoken of as being in heaven after his ascension. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So here you got Paul. He's talking about himself. So 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I want you to note something here. Let me begin reading in verse 2. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 2, he says, "I know a man." Now, if you read all the way to verse 7, he's talking about himself, right? "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body I do not know, or whether of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven." Now, the third heaven is talking about the spiritual realm, and in that culture, that language, the first heaven, right, it's just Greek word, ornos, right, if you see that, it might be talking about the sky outside where the birds fly. They call that heaven also. The second heaven was where the moon and the sun and the stars are. The third heaven referred to the spiritual realm. So he got to go to the spiritual realm, and we're going to know this is spiritual realm because he's going to tell us here next. And verse 3, "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise." Now that word in the Greek is paradeison, which is actually, it was derived from an ancient Persian word that the Greeks borrowed. And that actually, originally, it described basically like a park, a very beautiful place. And, you know, many times it was associated with the Garden of Eden, by the way. So that's where we get that word paradise from, right? So how he was caught up into paradise, that's called the third heaven, the spiritual realm, which is not lawful for man to utter of such a one, I will boast, so on and so forth. But I want you to see that there, that he was allowed to see into paradise, the spiritual realm. And I think that's a wonderful passage when we think about this. Now we're going to kind of sidestep here, and I want you to think about the expectations of the righteous, right? For those who are in Christ after he ascended, right? Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 23, what he said? He said, he had a desire to depart, right? To die, to be with Christ, which is better, he says. So he knew in Christ, if he died, he would be with Jesus, right? And where's Jesus? He's in the spiritual realm, right? And so it's not in the Hadean realm anymore. It used to be. Scripture plainly shows us that. But Paul knew he's going to be with Christ. Where's Christ now? He's in that spiritual realm, the heavenly realm. If you just back up a little more here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Right? So if you die in Christ right now, you get to be with the Lord Jesus. That was Paul's desire in Philippians 1. Right? That's what he's highlighting right here in Revelation chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11, right, we see that saints are in the heaven, at least the heavenly realm right now. In chapter 7, you add chapter 7 into that, right, it's those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, we're not going to read all of that. We're going to be talking about that in a Revelation class, right? And if you went up to verse 9, right, he gets to see this spiritual vision, right, a great multitude which no one could number. These are the ones at the end of verse 9, clothed with white robes. And he even asks, you know, who are these arrayed in white robes in verse 13? Well, it's verse 14, those who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Right, so I think, you know, we can conclude reasonably, right, that they're saints, right, even if we did read chapter 6 around the throne, right, they're concerned about the brethren dying down on earth, right, so you had saints in heaven as a point on this, that were in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, you know. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, you know, verse 56, Jesus, you know, as he's being stoned, of course, right? He saw Jesus in heaven. So Jesus is in heaven. And then you get down to verse 59, right? He calls on Jesus to receive a spirit in heaven. So Jesus is in the heavenly spiritual realm right now, right? Reigning as king of his kingdom. That was in Peter's sermon, Acts chapter. That's where Jesus is. He's no longer in the Hadean realm, where paradise was. And so now, you know, I think a more complete view in all of this, examined after the ascension of Jesus, paradise is now in heaven, not Hades. The hope of the righteous is to be with Christ, right? We talked about that. Who we know is in heaven, waiting for judgment. And the hope of the righteous is to be in the presence of the Lord. So why did that change? Now, here's my opinion. Why did that change? You know, consider the nature of God. Well, God's holy. He cannot tolerate to be in the presence of sin. We separate ourselves from him due to our sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Prior to the ascension of Jesus, or the crucifixion of Jesus, sin hadn't been paid for. Let's read a few verses here in Hebrews. Really, really explains it well. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, great place to go to. Hebrews chapter 9, let me read 15 and 16. Right, so after the cross, when Jesus ascended, right, his blood had paid that redemption price, satisfy God's righteous wrath. And so here, prior, you know, it hadn't been paid for. So let me read Hebrews 9, 15 and 16. And for this reason, he is mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. right? Diaphake, right? That New Testament, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance, for where there is a testament, diatheke, right? It's using covenant in verse 15, testament in verse 16, same word. There must also of necessity be the death of the testator, right? If I have a will to leave you all my billions of dollars, you're not going to get it until I die, right? It doesn't come into effect until I die. And so I think that's one way to consider, you know, why did it change? All right, back up just a little bit more here in Hebrews. Go back to verse 11. Let's read 11 all the way up to 14, I guess. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Then we read 15 and 16 already. And if you're taking notes, when you get a chance, go ahead and I want you to read verse 23 to 26 to kind of really emphasize this point that I'm making here. And so now, Hebrews 12, 23, the spirits of just men were made perfect. Right, Hebrews 12 and verse 23, and then we're in a position to be with God and Christ in heaven. Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11, that I mentioned earlier, right? Having been now washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so, you know, when you think about this, does it really, is it a mountain to die on, whether paradise is still in the Hadean realm or it's now in heaven? I wouldn't think so. Does it satisfy curiosity? Well, sure. But more importantly, it gets us thinking about the spiritual, right? And why, you know, I think it's important to understand where paradise is now, being in the presence of God, where Jesus is. That gives us hope, right? The expectations of the righteous to be fulfilled, to be with Jesus when we died. And what great comfort that is. You know, and of course, the quote-unquote traditional view holds true before the ascension of Jesus. But I think that fails to explain a lot of the statements after he ascended. But whether righteous or unrighteous prior to the ascension of Christ, that view absolutely holds true. So really what this is all about is, again, preparation. Right? If you die before Jesus returns in the judgment day, the great parousia, that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians, if you die before then and you're prepared, let me tell you, paradise, whether it's in the Hadean realm or the heavenly realm, it's going to be wonderful. Right? But that, we know that much is true. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Right? And so we start to put it all together. Listen, paradise is going to be great, but let me tell you, heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, Peter writes about in 2 Peter 3, which we're going to study here in the future, even better. And that just kind of blows the mind. And if you're not prepared, I want you to understand, like we read in Matthew chapter 25, right? Because there's a place prepared for the prepared, and there's a place prepared for the unprepared. As bad as torment is, that's not even hell yet. And I know Scripture is very clear on that. The rich man there, you think how terrible that was, is still today, right? Just a drop of water on the tongue to satisfy for a half a thought. As bad as that is, that's not as bad as hell's going to be. And that's terrifying, right? There's that great gulf fixed in between, right? Once you die, or if Jesus comes back right now, our eternal state is determined. Right, so that ought to motivate us to really look into these things and seek to be prepared. And so as you see here in Matthew 25, and we're going to offer the invitation here with these thoughts, right? The righteous, right? The sheep, the prepared, they're going to be with Christ, get to be with the Father, alive and conscious, and get to rest in that blessedness. But the wicked, the goats, the unprepared, right? Separated from God. How terrible is that thought? Suffering and torment, then hell. Right, in torment, reserved under punishment for judgment, then eternally in that lake of fire, which is never quenched. And God doesn't want us there, right? He wants us with him. He desires us to be in relationship with him, and he proved that through the sacrifice of his son. And so now we need to take that and do something with it and be prepared. And again, whether you fully understand where paradise is now in the Hadean realm or in the spiritual realm in heaven, I don't think that's near as important as understanding the necessity of preparation. Right? So if you're here this evening and you're not prepared, or if you're like, well, I don't know if I'm prepared or not, let's sit down and talk about that, right? We need to open up the Word of God and see if you're prepared or not. And just shortly on that, let me tell you, it's about being washed in the blood of the lambs. You got to be clothed with Christ in baptism. And if you haven't done that with a response of faith, that's what you got to do to begin that journey. And let's take care of that. If you've done that, the deceitfulness of sin has worked on your heart and you separated yourself from God, but now you realize that that was a mistake and you're ready to come back and be reconciled to God, let's take care of that. What a wonderful thought, encouraging thought, to know that every person here in this auditorium can leave this assembly reconciled to God and prepared. So if we can help in any way this evening, please don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.